Thank you, Brother Key, Miss Shirley. That's a favorite song of mine, My God is Real. Brother Kent is no stranger. He was with us last year for a few days, and we're so happy he could take time to come back. He has been only preaching 62 years. So I talked to one of his members this morning. He said the practice will do him good this week, he thought. Yeah. They've had so much rain in Missouri that I heard the fishing had gotten so bad that the liars haven't even been able to catch anything. Now that's pretty bad. I went to California in 1984 and got better acquainted with Brother Parson. And I have enjoyed immensely every moment that we've been able to have together. We think alike and we sometimes act alike. But I certainly appreciate what he has done for the Lord across the years. One of my favorite sayings, as you well know, is that just one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And he's devoted himself to that. There's no telling how many million miles he's driven. He's pastored churches in Tennessee and Missouri and California, and has traveled back and forth and changing pastorates. And I won't have any idea how many million miles he may have driven. But he's come this morning to render his services for God in our midst. And I hope that you'll give him your attention, and that we can have quietness in our sanctuary, and that we will pray for him. Brother Kent Parson, it's my pleasure to present to you those that know you and introduce.
That's formal. Thank you, Brother Kenneth. I sat there as y'all were singing and saying, why in the world did they have me come back down here when you've got all of these wonderful singers, you got the best preacher there is anywhere, and you as a church are such a blessing, I'm sure, to the Lord. But I will tell you, I'm most thankful to be able to be here again, to be with you again. It hardly seems like it's been a year, but it's awfully close to a year. I'm older. I'm not much smarter than I was before. I can tell you that I was asked last night if, after all these years, if I know more. I told them I know less. And that probably is true, that the more that I learn, the more I know there is to learn. And I especially have learned one thing, that the Lord does so much and we do so little, if you really get down to it. And I mean that in all sincerity. For those of you who do not know me, who have not heard me, you're going to leave here scratching your head probably and saying he was right on the money when he said, what in the world did they get him down here for? So I won't feel, my feelings won't be hurt. I'm accustomed to that type of thing. I'm humbled, so, to be able to be here. But I want to say this. I came down here really for one purpose, and that's for those of you who are lost. Now, you've got a good pastor who will teach you and train you and help you as a child of God in the Lord's work. You have the best there is, as far as I'm concerned. And I mean that in all sincerity. And I say that not just because of our little bit, but we've had many years of acquaintance, as he has said. But to you who are lost this morning, all of that really doesn't mean much. It really doesn't. And I understand that because I was lost one time. And I can speak from experience, and I know somewhat of what you go through with and what you're going through with. And so I want to spend my time when I'm here trying to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ, who you need to save your soul. And I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not here to make you feel good. The only way that you're going to feel better is if the Lord saves your soul. And I mean that. And I'll guarantee you this one thing, that I was one of those people who thought I wanted to wait until I was an old man to be saved. Now, I'm going to give you a little here that won't cost you any extra this morning, just to kind of let you know who this guy is. I have a lot of strange ideas, and you'll hear some of them as I preach. My thought this morning is only one more word than what Kenneth to the children was. He had two words, and I knew that scripture as soon as he went for it, because when I was in school, every morning we started with a Bible verse, and all the boys in the class always knew Jesus wept. That was about the only verse we knew, but we could get by with that. Mine's going to be three words this morning instead of two. But before I get there, I want to back up to you that are lost and let you know that I had some strange ideas when I was lost. I wasn't raised in church. My folks would take me once in a while when the neighbors put enough pressure on them to go to church. They'd keep asking, well, you guys need to come to church. And they'd invite them to church. And my mom and dad, after so much of that, would get to the point where they'd say, well, to kind of get them off of our backs, we'll go. And they'd go once in a while, and they'd take my younger brother and me, and the preacher'd get up and preach, and I want you to know he could make hell fire real. Scare the fire out of me, you know. I just knew if something happened, I was going to die and go to hell. Now, I mean, that's the way those old boys preached back in those days. That hasn't changed. People who are lost still die and go to hell. Now, I don't hesitate to say that to you that are lost this morning. I want you to know that. I want you to know that what I'm talking about is serious. I have a lot of fun. I kid a lot with Kenneth, and you'll hear me call him Kenneth. I know proper etiquette from the pulpit is to identify him as Brother Massey or Pastor Massey, but he's Kenneth to me out there, and he'll be Kenneth to me in here. There's nothing hypocritical about me. If I call you, you're okay to call me Kent if you want to. Won't hurt my feelings at all. I won't feel like that you've downplayed on me if you do that. We kid a lot. We have a lot of fun. I love the work of the Lord. I love to preach. I'm one of the few preachers who are probably going to get up and tell you that. But I love to preach, especially when the Spirit of God comes along and I can feel His presence. There isn't anything any better than that. Isn't anyone I'd rather tell you about than the Lord Jesus Christ? So don't go out of here thinking, well, that old boy, he just come down here because the church called him. They did call me, and I appreciate that. But I came because you're lost, and you need to be saved, and I know who can save you. And I'll tell you about him, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Your mama can't save you, your daddy can't save you, your brother can't save you, your sister can't save you, grandpa and grandma can't save you, the pastor can't save you, and this preacher can't save you. None of us can. But the Lord Jesus Christ can, because he loves you. Loves you just as much as he loved me. And so whenever he begins to move by his Spirit and move in your heart, you need to pay attention to that. You don't need to be piddling around about anything else. Listen, this is serious stuff, because if you don't listen to him and you don't heed him, you will die in your sin and you will go to hell. That's not probably, that's fact. I can substantiate that with the Word of God. I'm one of these preachers who believes every word in the Word of God. I don't understand it all. I don't make any pretense of understanding it all. I find sometimes, you know, that it's difficult for me to even believe some of the things that are in there. But because it's God's word, I know it's right. When I was lost, and I thought, I want to wait till I'm an old man to be saved. And I'll tell you the reason I wanted to wait till I was an old man. Now, this is my thinking as a young person. I wanted to go out and have a good time. I wanted to enjoy life. And I'd watch them old sour Christians sit around in church and frown and say, you can't do this and you can't do that, you can't go here and you can't go there. Well, I didn't want any of that. Man, but when I got to be an old man, I wouldn't be able to do those things anymore. And so I could say, don't go here, don't go there, well, because I was too old to go. I was too old to have fun. And so it'd be all right to be saved then, because you'd already done everything you wanted to do, and I'd hear them tell how the Lord would forgive you. And so I'd just wait till I got old till I got saved, and I'd have had all those good experiences. Let me tell you something this morning. I can't even begin to imagine on what I would have missed out had that happened. Because God has been so good to me. He did save me when I was a young man. I didn't get saved the way that I thought it was going to happen. Don't you come with any preconceived ideas of what's going to happen when you get saved. I don't care what you've heard everybody else get up and say, how they saw lives, how they saw the Lord. They never saw the Lord. There hasn't been anybody seen the Lord other than when he was here upon the earth. And they may think they have. And they're talking about seeing God. The Bible says no man has seen God. Yeah. Oh, they shouted all over the place. Well, they shouted because they got saved, not because it saved them. They did all kinds of things. Don't you get that idea in your head that that's what has to happen to you? Because I'm going to tell you, according to the Word of God, that salvation is first peace with God. And that peace is going to be in your heart. And just as God will convict you, God will convert you. I cannot convict you. That old preacher back in my day, he didn't convict me, but God did. I didn't understand all that. I don't expect you to understand everything this morning or tonight or tomorrow or tomorrow night or any time, excepting that you will understand there's something wrong in your heart and that you don't have what I'm talking about this morning when I talk about salvation. And you need that in your heart. So that's why I'm here, to tell you about the Lord who saved me so many years ago, in a time, in a place that I was least expecting it. Now, one of the good deacons in a Tennessee church told me one time I wasn't saved, because I wasn't praying and I wasn't thinking about it at that time. I'm sorry, he didn't know what he was talking about. Because I did get saved coming up out of the gymnasium at Wheatland High School so many years ago. I've gone back there a number of times. And people say, oh, I can take you right to the spot. I thought I could until I got up to the school and found out they had changed everything around. And it wasn't the same spot. But I have the time and the place that the Lord saved me, and you will too. It may not be in the altar. It may not be here in the church. It might be back there in the pew. It might be down here. It might be somewhere else. Mine just happened to be at school. Yeah, I may not be able to share all my experience with you. I'd be happy to do that sometime other than right now. But listen, I want you to know, you'll have your own experience. You'll know when God places peace in your heart. That's what's going to happen first. He's going to put peace in your heart. Now, when I talk about conviction, you know what I'm talking about. You're lost. You're not supposed to understand these things. Whenever I talk about conversion, you don't know what I'm talking about because you've never been converted. That's what all of us saved people talk about all the time, and we act like you know all about it. And I'm not trying to put you down. I'm just trying to remind myself of how it was when I was lost and I didn't understand all these things. Someone had come up to me, Key, and said, are you under conviction? I thought, what in the world are they talking about? Yeah. All right, if I come down off there. I hope it is, because I probably won't stay up here all the time. I know I'm supposed to. Our church anymore, they video every service. And so we don't have anyone that mans the camera. They've got a stationary, so I'm supposed to stand close. I don't do it. And so I'm off camera quite a bit of the time. That's another issue. Listen, let me tell you something. God will give you your own experience of salvation. And when he gives it to you, you take it and you use it. You tell it. Amen. Don't be ashamed. I once in a while I have something. You know what? I was just standing back there in the sea, and the Lord saved my soul. I didn't even move. And they get worried that that isn't enough, because they listen to all the people. They listen to people like me who said, well, you know, I went to the altar and I prayed and I went to school. I did all of these things, and people say, I went 40 sometimes to the altar before I got saved. Let me tell you something. Anybody who's just going to the altar and counting the times they've been in the altar, they aren't there for the right business. Amen. This is serious stuff to you that are lost. This is your life, eternal life. I want you to understand that. I'm not being critical of all these things that other people do, but what I want you to understand is that God is going to deal with you as an individual. He knows every single thing about you, and he knows how to work in your heart, and he knows how to get you to the foot of the cross to where he can save your soul if you will let him. All right, time to get down to business. That didn't cost you any extra. My thought. I'm not a preacher who can get up and preach a text like these good preachers can. I tell people every once in a while, I'm kind of a shotgun preacher. For those of you who ever done it, you know what a shotgun, it scatters. When the shell goes out there, it just scatters. And that's kind of the way my preaching is. It's pretty scattered. So you just have to kind of try to stay with me. For you that are lost, what you need to do is be listening to the voice of the Lord as he speaks to your heart. You're not going to hear anything audible, but you're going to feel something. You're going to know something's going on in your heart. Listen. Listen to him as he speaks to you. As I begin to, after the church had called me to come down here, as I begin to think about what Lord, would you have me to preach? And I asked the Lord that many, many times. Not just to come back, about coming down here, but wherever I'm going to preach. I say, Lord, what would you have me to preach? And sometimes he lets me know right away. And sometimes he doesn't. But this particular thought that I want to leave with you this morning came to me early hours of a morning. And when I got fully awake, I thought, is that even scripture? And so I got up and went and got my Bible and almost immediately turned to it. And boy, what a relief that was to know that, because I have some every once in a while. Let me give you one. Kenneth gave y'all a test. How many of you ever heard remember the scripture? Let us forsake our evil ways, seek the paths of our forefathers, and walk therein. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But it's not scripture. It's in the scripture, but it's not in there just that way. But I preached that one time, and boy, I just thought, well, the Lord just really gave me that, you know, and I just come over it every once in a while, and I just doing I thought was a pretty good job with it. And as soon as the service was over, a little lady come up to me, and she said, where's that found? I said, well, I don't know right offhand, but I'll find it for you, and I'll tell you tonight when we come back to church. I spent all afternoon. Called up my preacher friend and says, hey, I'm in trouble. I've quoted some scripture that's not scripture. I can't find it. I thought it was. So I like to be able sometimes. If I'm going to use something like that, I'll tell you. But I'm a little different than most preachers. Remember Lot's wife. That was the thought that came. Remember Lot's wife. How many of you, what's the first thing you think of when you think of Lot's wife? Yeah, she turned to a pillar of salt. I said, well, now, isn't that interesting? What in the world will I do with something like that? Remember Lot's wife. Now, you know what? There's some interesting things about that. How many of you know what her name was? She's not named. How many of you know what the name of the rich man that went to hell was? He's not named. See, there are some people that the name's not in there. And I think there's good reason that it's not there. Remember, but did you think about that now? Of all the people that Jesus could have mentioned, he said, remember Lot's wife. And so I began to go back and I began to think about what do I know about her? I don't know much more about her than I know about a lot of other things. And I don't know very much, people, excepting I know how good the Lord is. I know what he can do. That I know. I don't think I've experienced it. But I went back and I began to read. Now, Charlie Spurgeon takes a different approach to Lot's wife than what I was thinking. He kind of portrays her as being a wicked woman or from a group of people that didn't believe in the Lord, and that the reason that she got turned into a pillar of salt is that she wanted to go back to her old way of life. And there are a lot of times in people's lives that they would like to go back. There may be some times in your life where that you think, I'd like to go back. I hear that quite often in church. We'd like to go back to the good old days whenever, whatever was taking place, whatever happened. Well, let me tell you something. You cannot go back. You can't. It's already done. It's over. All you have is right now. To you that are lost, all you've got is right now. That's it. That's why I say to you this morning, if God is dealing in your heart, you need to pay attention to him today. You can't go back to yesterday. You can't go back to another church. You can't go somewhere else. You can't go to another event, because that's all past. And you can't anticipate that you're going to have another opportunity in the future to go or to do or get a set of different circumstances, because you do not know whether that's going to happen. Neither do I. All we have is right now. So right now is what I'm dealing with you about. And that's why I'm saying to you this morning, if you're lost, I want you to be serious with me, because I'm going to be serious with you. I want you to know that the most important thing you'll ever do in your life is be saved. Just over a year ago, I had the opportunity and the privilege to speak at my little brother's breakfast, or not breakfast, at the service. It was in the morning. He probably hadn't had breakfast yet, but I had. And to share some things, and I said in that message, there are four important things in your life that are going to, I'm going to have the privilege of being a part of. And the first one was, and the most important was, is that you got saved. And that's the most important thing that anybody's ever going to do. Now, I went ahead and I listed number one, number two, and number three. And a senator came up to me after this service was over and he punched me. And he said, I've just got to tell you this. He said, one of the news reporters was standing next to me, and he said he punched me after he had done the third one, because I went from the third one right on into something else. And he said, the reporter punched me, and he said he forgot the fourth one. And he said, I stood there, and toward the end then I deliberately came back and I said, let me tell you what the fourth most important thing that you're ever going to do is, you're going to stand one of these days before the great I Am. And you're going to give an account unto him as to the life that you've lived here upon the earth. And when you have finished, because I had pointed out the other three events, I had been present at all of them. And I said, when you have finished and you hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, I want you to look over, because I'll be right there when you're there. Let me tell you something this morning. The greatest event that's ever going to happen in your life is when the Lord saves you. Remember Lot's wife. Now here's something about her that you need to understand this morning. She had been given warning as to what was going to happen. She had been told that Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed and that she needed to get out of it. She knew that. I went back over and I checked it out. It's in the word of the Lord. Her husband, Lot, knew it. His uncle had asked the Lord, will the Lord destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now, I want to answer that because the Lord answers that in his word, but I want to make it just a real quick for you that are lost to tell you that the Lord is not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked. The righteous are going to heaven, and not because of self-righteousness, but because of his righteousness, and the wicked are going to hell and will be there forever. That's as simple as I know how to make it to you. I'm sure your pastor has told you that. You've heard other preachers say it, but I just want to reiterate it again, that that's exactly what's going to happen. The Lord is not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked. But if you're lost, you're going to be one of those that will be destroyed. But you've been warned. You've been told. And the Spirit of God speaks to your heart. And you have, when he speaks, the opportunity to choose. I know our people don't like to hear that word. They don't like to hear that you have choice, but you do. Every single one of us have choices. And we make choices every day. Now, I'm at a disadvantage here because I don't have a clock back here to see how long I'm preaching. And at home, I do. Keith kind of gave me the signal here in a couple of minutes when my time's up so that I don't wear them all completely out. The Spirit will give you instruction. He will warn you. Lot's wife had been warned. She had the opportunity to do exactly as Lot did, to get out of the city. Lot didn't want to leave. She didn't want to leave. Now, why didn't they want to leave? There are probably a lot of reasons why they didn't want to leave. There are a lot of times when you look at some of God's children, you use them as an excuse, as I had done when I was lost, to say, I don't want to be like them. And I agree with you. I don't want to be like some of them either. I don't want to look like that. I've been eating sour or green grapes or sour persimmons or whatever, green persimmons. I've got it all backwards there. I had a lady one time in church, I used that expression, she came to me and she says, what in the world are you talking about green persimmons? I knew right away she had never tasted a green persimmon. But I recognize that there are a lot of God's people who aren't living like they should be. They aren't doing what they should be. And you're going to look at them and say, I don't want to be like that. I'm better than they are already. And you may be. They may not be where they should be. And as a child of God, let me say to each one of you as a child of God, you better look and see where you're at with the Lord. You don't know how many of these lost people are watching you. And they'll use you for an excuse. It won't hold up, but they will. She knew what was going to happen. When you leave here this morning, you're going to know, because I've already told you from the word of the Lord, and I can substantiate what is going to happen. Now, I want to hurry along because I want to finish real quickly. Why the Lord would have said, remember Lot's wife? destruction was coming up on Sodom and Gomorrah, and the angel come and took her and Lot by the hand and forcefully took them out of the city. The angel said, after that he had Lot out, he said, we couldn't destroy the city as long as you were in there. Now, for all of those of you who believe that we're all going to be here when the destruction comes, you better get back in the word of the Lord again, because the Bible says the righteous will not be destroyed with the wicked, and I'm not going to be here, and you're not going to be here as a child of God whenever that destruction comes, but there are going to be some people who will be who are lost. Now, I'm not going to get off on that right now. I may preach a little on that before I get through here this time, because the Lord has given me another text or two that I hope to use. Now, I don't always get to use what he gives me, Kenneth. Sometimes I'll take them back home with me and use them when I get back home. Now, I have to trust in him, and I have every confidence in the Lord. Have more confidence in him than I do me. And now listen. The angel came along and took them. And before he took them out of the city, he said, you go out into the city and you get your family. Yeah, you go out and get your family members. To you mamas and daddies and you grandpas and grandmas and you brothers and sisters, you aunts and uncles, you have a responsibility to help take care of your family. And you need to be telling them about the Lord. You tell them about everything else under the sun. We're so enthused about how much education we can get our children and how much of what a good job we can get them and how high they can become on the social structure and on and on and on. But we forget about the most important thing that's ever going to be in their life, and that's their soul. My goodness, folks. All the rest of that's good. But it pales in comparison to that which is important. That's your soul. The angel said, you go out and get them and tell them what's going to happen. Tell them, let's go. Let's get out of here. And when they went out, those people out there laughed at them and mocked them and made fun of them because they didn't have any credibility. Whether you like or dislike me is immaterial. Whether you believe me or don't believe me is immaterial. But I'm going to tell you one thing this morning. How you respond to the Lord is critical. How you respond to the Spirit of the Lord is crucial. And you need to know that, because it is your life that we're talking about this morning. I could go home from here. I could leave right now. There'd be some of the church who'd be disappointed. There'd be some of them mad, and some of them would be glad. And it wouldn't make any difference, because I'm still going to go to heaven because the Lord saved me. And whether they're mad, glad, indifferent, they're still going to go to heaven because the Lord saved them. But you are still lost. Now, here's why I believe that the Lord said, this is what I believe. So you take that. Be sure, I'm going to preface that to say, this is what I believe. Why the Lord said, remember Lot's wife. When she went out of the city and she turned and she looked back, here's what I believe. I believe any mother who's a mother at all would have done the same thing. Her daughters, her sons-in-laws, her family members were back. Somebody, oh, there were two daughters with it. Well, there were two, but there were some more. Go back, read again. It wasn't just those two daughters who had never been married. To have some in-laws, you've got to have a marriage, people. So there were some more children that didn't get to come up. Do you think for a minute, Shirley, that if a mama was going out like that and knew that her children were back there and they were going to be destroyed, that she wouldn't want to think, I want them to go with me. I don't want them to be left back there in that destruction. She may have been a vile woman. She may have been a wicked woman. She may have been a person who didn't know the Lord. But I'm going to tell you this morning, she knew her children. And she did not want them to be destroyed. And she looked back and disobeyed the Lord. I don't want you to disobey the Lord. You can just do and think whatever you want about me, about the church, about your pastor, about all the people here, but for heaven's sake, don't you ever turn your back on the Lord. Listen to him. Follow him. He is a perfect leader. He will never, ever lead you wrong. She turned to a pillar of salt. That's not a very complimentary thing as I study the word of the Lord. But I believe it's there for a purpose. I believe there is not a single person in hell this morning who wants you to come there. This church still has prayer meetings, I believe, on Wednesday night. Most of our churches don't anymore. But let me tell you where the biggest prayer meeting there is anywhere that ever goes on is in a place called hell. Yeah. You just, oh, preacher, I don't believe there are people praying down there. Well, you better go back over again and read about the rich man, because the Bible says while he was there in hell, he lifted up his eyes, and as he talked to Abraham, he said, I pray that you will send back to warn my brothers that they not come. I don't want you to go there. I really don't believe you want to go there. But there's only one way that you can escape going there. And you cannot get that by looking back. You must look up. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. You have to look to the Lord. He's the only one you can trust. You've got to be serious with him about it. It is serious. I'm going to turn the service back over to the pastor. I apologize if I've been a little long. I'll try to shorten up a little bit by the next time around. But I want you to know this morning to you that are lost. I'm here because of you. Because I want you to know the Lord. You may say, well, you don't even know who I am. But he knows you, and you know who you are. And that's what counts. Yeah, you don't know who I am either. But I'll guarantee you one thing. The Lord knows me. He knows you. And if he's speaking to your heart, you need to listen to him. Brother Kenneth.
Turn over. And I'm not going to preach. But one of them directed to the unsaved and one of them to the saved about remembering Lot's wife. The one to the unsaved, Jesus said, no one can be my disciple except you forsake mother, father, sister, brother, houses and land, and even your own life. And the other one is to the saved people in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Church, let's don't look back. Let's press on. Unsaved folks, you have nothing to look back to. Now, saved can look back to when they were saved, at least, if nothing else. But you don't have anything. So you need to look to Jesus right now, this morning. If you want to pray, saved or unsaved, the altar is open. If you're saved and you need a church home and God's impressing you to join here, let that be known while we stand and sing. Everyone.
Number 255.